searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows taught me. I'm Jess Sterling here with my co-host Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, I am great. I am shipping off to Europe. Goodbye to you. So long. Don't know if I'll miss you, but I'll never forget you.
Good to know. I see how it is. You just drop me like a sack of potatoes. No questions asked.
Yeah. You know, our breakup. It's very much looming.
We're about, you know what? It would be about right, because the podcast is almost over for Boy Meets World. So now would be the time that you're like, you know what? See you later. I'm off to Europe.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly, if they were like, hey, Sarah, do you want a free trip to Europe, or do you want to continue podcasting with Jessica Sterling? I think I'm going to take the free trip to Europe.
So rude.
I've never really been to Europe. I want to go to Europe.
Okay. Like 1 week or like 2 weeks? Like how long would the trip have to be?
I don't know. How long is Angela going to be in Europe for?
Well, that's like, that's not a trip. She's literally moving.
Okay. And yeah. Bye, Jess. See you later.
You know what? Fine. You can leave. I'm going to bring in your replacement co-host here on the podcast, because of course we're not alone. We're never alone when we're finishing up Boy Meets World. The amazing, the wonderful Sasha Joseph. Sasha, how are you? Well, thank you so much for joining us and replacing Sarah as my new co-host.
Oh my God, what a prestigious honor. You know, I feel like I've been through the ROTC and I'm here and I made it. I practiced for my shining moment. I can't wait.
Of course, we're here to send off Angela. It is, I feel like this episode title is kind of dark and gloomy for what is actually happening. It's called Angela's Ashes. And I'm like, but she didn't die.
Well, have you read the book Angela's Ashes, which I think, if I'm remembering correctly, it has like great like potato famine energy to it.
Let me look it up. Angela's Ashes is a 1996 memoir by the Irish-American author Frank McCourt.
Yeah. I read that book in school. It's about this guy that suffered through the potato famine.
Oh, yeah.
I have never heard of this.
Limerick, Ireland. He grew up in Brooklyn, and he struggled with poverty, and his father had alcoholism. That's
okay. Well,
rough.
Maybe he didn't have to go through the potato famine, but I did remember he was Irish.
Yeah, he did live. He did live in Ireland. That is a point in the story. It says
okay.
But what does that have to do with this, Angela? I don't know. I feel like we could have been like, Angela, like that feels like it works
because they're going, but it's like somebody's like personal life story memoir, and we're naming an episode after that.
Well, that's like y'all talked about last episode, right, with the brotherly shove. So I guess they're really trying to be cute, but they just, why are they doing Angela so dirty? Because Sarah, when you first asked me, hey, what episode would you like to cover? And you threw out some options and I was like, Angela's Ashes? I don't remember her dying. So I had to Google a bunch of these episodes and I was like, oh my God, this is normal. Yes. Okay. I would like to do this one.
Yeah.
Because I was not going to come on a Angela's death episode. That's for damn sure.
No. Well, the thing is like, Sarah, you know a lot more about like the Boy Meets World history than I do. I don't quite understand why it is that they chose to have her leave literally an episode before the finale. like, it just doesn't make a ton of sense as to why she couldn't just graduate with the others and then, like, and then have her move to Europe, like, after. Is it, do they just want to, like, devote a whole episode to it, do you think?
I really, okay, I would like to be optimistic and saying, yes, of course, they want to, dedicate an entire episode to Trina McGee, but also I know for a fact that they don't really give a shit about Trina McGee. Yeah,
exactly.
And so I can't say that that's so. I mean, this is the last time we saw Angela. And then aside from that, we didn't really see her a lot in Girl Meets World, except for one episode. And I remember before we got to recording, we were talking a little bit about Trina coming out onto the media and the Instagram live with Danielle Fishel, and then later on Pod Meets World, about her experience on Boy Meets World. You and I've talked about it throughout the podcast a bunch, but she was really not given the respect that she deserved in many senses, whether it be something as much as not having other Black cast and crew members, or having to do her own hair because they didn't want to hire a hair person that could handle a Black woman's hair, or the fact that she doesn't get invited back, even though she was a, you know, really strong member of this story. And I don't really understand why.
Yeah, yeah, and I did a little bit of research because, Sarah, I also just remember the incident with Will, but I don't remember the whole thing. Anyway, so I ended up Googling her, and yeah, turns out this just happened in September that she went on Pod Meets World, and basically she actually talked about why she left two episodes early, because she believed she would be there for the finale. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden the showrunner allegedly that said, this is according to her, that in a kind of weird offhanded way by a very important person, that you guys all went to Michael Jacobs, the showrunner, and said, we don't want her in the last episode. She's somehow taking our light. And that was the gist of it. So that's what she was apparently told. Wow. Or that she inferred. It wasn't coming.
It's unclear. Yeah.
Well, they have to speak around some things, because Michael Jacobs, they do not have very kind words to say about Michael Jacobs throughout Pod Meets World. I've listened to the majority of the episodes.
Okay.
And it's interesting because, you know, a lot of the times when people kind of speak openly, the showrunner, whomever, is no longer like alive, and then they feel free. This jackass is somewhere in Hollywood sitting on his millions from like Trina McGee's freaking tears from how poorly he treated everybody. Yeah. And, you know, they say as much as they can. And yeah, you're right. Like, it has to be alleged. That's the special word here, because otherwise a lawsuit ensues. So everything we're saying today is absolutely alleged, right?
Yeah. I was honestly thinking one of the reasons might be that, like, they, and I don't know who, but like the creator, the showrunners, whomever, we're like, oh, this will be better with fans if it's just the three at the end. Like, we don't want extras. We don't want – but I don't remember – again, I have not seen the finale in a very long time. So I don't – all I picture in my head is that final scene with, like, Feeny and the three of them and the trio. So, like, I don't know how involved Jack and Rachel are in the storylines in the finale. But, yeah, it sucks. Part of me is happy because we wouldn't get a Angela-focused episode if not for her leaving. Mm-hmm. And so it feels like I'm happy in that we do get an Angela-focused episode. However, Sasha, part of me is also like, but yeah, but it's told through the lens of like, oh, but Sean's going to have to deal with her
That's
leaving.
That's what I was like, yep.
You know?
That's exactly really my frustration. Her.
Mm-hmm. It's about Sean dealing with her leaving.
Exactly. And I watched a little bit of season 7 before I came on the podcast, just as like a, you know, refresher on it all, because I remember watching all these episodes way back when. And I couldn't believe just how wild Corey and Sean, like how frustrating, I mean, they are. And
so true.
I mean, from the jump, right, of this episode. But it's interesting that she didn't even know, like Trina McGee didn't even know that this was the like pre-finale episode. And she was just like, they told me I was getting my own show, focus on Angela. And that's all I really was told. But apparently, obviously, everyone denied it. They were like, no, we are not, you know, we didn't ask for you not to be let, like, we missed you basically mm-hmm. on the finale mm-hmm. and we didn't know that. And turns out they asked her to tone down her blackness on this particular episode. So it just feels like there's a lot of stuff going on. Would recommend everyone to listen.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's crazy.
Jess, do you remember what exactly happened with Will and Trina? Because I think that's important. Like, this is when she alluded to a cast member being, you know, inappropriate or racist around her. It had to do with Will Friedle. And I can't remember exactly what he said, but he made an off-color joke to her because what he says is that he felt like, you know, he was able to joke around with her. And as soon as he said it, he was kind of like a foot and mouth situation. Mm-hmm. And she let it simmer. And then she was like, this does not sit right with me. And she brought it up to him, which I feel like also when you like bring stuff up to people and they're not ready to totally hear it, there's like an awkwardness that ensues. Mm-hmm. And like, that's kind of one of the incidences that happened. Also, like, was there anything else to the story, Sasha, that you remember?
No. Yeah, that was it. And basically he was just like, well, he called her Aunt Jemima because she was wearing a red hat.
Oh, yes. No. That's what it was.
So it was just like, really just no. And on the podcast, he's like, no, that was not cool, you know, like he seemed apologetic, like they seem fine, mm-hmm. you know, from what we know at least. But I get all he said was love your syrup, but you know, it's, and he was like, it was like if she would call me the Jolly Green Giant, but if
it's not the same,
it's not
the same, yeah. And they did have like a very interesting conversation about it on the podcast, and mm-hmm. it sounds like they've had many a conversations about this incident prior. But yeah, it's just all encompassing, you know, the show did it injustice for her. Her cast members did it injustice, and it just stinks. And I think that we discussed a lot throughout the series, how the showrunner, Michael Jacobs, doesn't know how to write for women. And we know for sure he doesn't know how to write for Black women.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I think what is like really nice about being able to go back and like cover a show from the 90s is we can point out things like this. And like we have been pointing out over the seasons, like, where are the women? Where are the women? Where are the women's storylines? Like, Alan gets his own storylines. Where are Amy's storylines? Right. And as soon as Angela got here, Sarah, you and I, again, this is the funny thing about watching a show that you haven't watched in a long time, that like, you misremember things.
Yeah.
And so in our minds, we're like, yes, Angela and Rachel are here. They're such big characters. We're going to get so many storylines. But I think what ended up happening was, at least for me, a lot of the times I would like remember this episode or like the other episode where her father is on the show. And to me, that was all I was remembering. But like, it was like, oh yeah, I remember there were Angela episodes, but it's like, I didn't remember there was like one Angela episode. And it's really upsetting when you have, again, when the main cast that are getting highlighted on the show are the characters Corey, Sean, Eric, like all white men. And it's just like, okay, even Topanga's not really getting her own scenes. It's always with Corey. And so it is kind of like upsetting that we are getting to the end of the road here and we really don't have. I mean, when Angela showed up on the show, I was like, yes, girl, like she got it, right? She just had this personality that I thought really popped on screen. Like, she never was given a lot, but she worked with what she was given in a way.
Yeah.
And so it's really upsetting that like we're sending her off with this episode. And yet I feel like we should have more to show for her appearance on the show. Again, it being a massive deal in the 90s to have a biracial couple on your television screens, like an interracial couple with Angela and Sean, like not very common to see on your television screen. Obviously the cast is like so white, like it's so, so sadly white, very common for the 90s for that to be the case. But at the very least, if you're going to put a Black woman on our screens and give us an interracial couple, then like give her something to do. And it just feels like a bit of a, I'm happy we get this episode, but I think that it's really, it feels almost like Sarah, like you remember, okay, so the book and the show, the time traveler's wife, how like that is how she is known as, like, she is the time traveler's wife. Yeah. Angela is first and foremost Sean's girlfriend.
Yeah.
And so even though this should be a eulogy for Angela, not that she died, but like we should be eulogizing her. We should be like sending her off with a big bon voyage. It does not feel that way because it is all channeled through Sean's emotions in this matter.
Yeah.
And it kind of sucks that that's how I left this. Not that it's a bad episode, but it kind of left a little bit of a sour taste in my mouth that like,
yeah,
this should be about Angela, you know?
Well, it's interesting that you say that because, Jess, remember the last time we had that big complaint was when Topanga got sexually harassed by Fred Savage.
Oh my gosh, yes. And it was all about how Corey was dealing with it, not
and
about
guess
how
who directed this episode.
No, Fred is it Savage. The same guy? Of course.
Oh my
him.
God.
Skis bag. I can't.
So yeah, so the mess doesn't fall far from the
shocking
mess tree. Yeah.
Well, again, like, okay, and Sasha, I know this is like silly because this is the 90s and like it was different and whatever. But it's very frustrating that like this is why we need people of color and women behind the scenes in these episodes to know how to tell these stories. It's so annoying.
Or even someone with just like a crumb of sense, right? Because
very least.
You know what, Sasha, we're asking too much for it to be a woman or a person of color. It really just needs to be someone with common sense
at this point, because
moron. Yeah,
all I'm thinking about is that, again, it's because it's front of mind. I just watched season 7, not all of it, but still. But yeah, that underwear episode, right, where they go through Rachel's,
yeah,
like why.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand why that's a storyline. And why is someone badass like Angela, someone badass like Topanga, letting their boyfriends basically cheat on them, right? And so this is better than that, right? Where,
yeah,
at least we're getting our women to, like, speak. And yes, that they're not fawning all over their men. But it's just very unfortunate because, again, this is just a strong character and a strong actress, and they've just kind of poo-pooed on her.
Yeah, and we'll get into it, but part of what really bothered me, and not saying it is not realistic, but knowing who Angela is and that she is very strong, right? Like, we've seen her stand up for herself and, like, not just listen to whatever everyone else says. She has her own opinions and thoughts. Mm-hmm. And part of me was like very annoyed that she's just like, well, I need you to tell me that I can go. Or that's not exactly how she worded it, but like she says that to Sean, like she almost is like waiting for his permission, which, again, part of me understands you're in a relationship. Like, it's something you're going to have to talk about. But part of me wanted to just be like, she's like, bye-bye, bitches. Like, see you later. Like, hasta Luisa, you know?
I don't know. I mean, with that, I think it's number one, they're a high school couple. They're high school sweethearts going into college. I think that there's just a level of, like, codependency when it comes to young couples like that. And when you're 18 years old, you really do think that your high school boyfriend is going to be your, like, one and only forever, especially if you've lasted, like, a full college freshman year, which is where, like, most high school relationships break up. But I feel like I was believable. I just think, like, the main issue is that we're not getting a lot of feelings on, like, how Angela's feeling about this. Yeah. You're right. It, like, really is, like, how Sean's dealing with it. And then, like, also it's like, I don't know, how Corey is dealing with Sean going through something.
Who cares? Corey, just sit down for an episode.
He doesn't pay attention. But let's get into it, right? Like, let's go. I think that we've done enough.
Enough preamble about it. Let's dive in.
Complaining, because it's not a bad episode. We just want more.
Well, and we just needed the lens to shift. That's what we said about the sexual harassment with Topanga. It was like, I liked what they were trying to do. It was just a little bit of a shift and it would have been good, you know, better. Mm-hmm. So we start off Angela's Ashes, season 7, episode 21. We're in like the student union area. Everyone is kind of prepping for graduation. And we find out that like Topanga, all this is like a very underlying story. It's very quiet of a storyline. Topanga's talking about like being a quarter finalist in something. And again, it's like they don't really mention it, but it's like some kind of summer internship at Brown Elliott. And they do mention, I do think, again, I feel like it's like kind of almost background that they talk about this, but Sarah, they're just like, yeah, it's going to be, it's a prestigious law firm in New York mm-hmm. that Topanga is applying for an internship for.
Yeah. It's, I mean, like it is quiet, but she's literally screaming about it every chance that she gets. Just nobody's listening to her.
Yeah. A woman not being husband. Listened to on the show. What?
Angela yeah. is like the only one listening. I
yeah,
feel.
Exactly. So I think so at this point she has yet to go to an interview, but she is a finalist. So, but it really is like the stinger at the end. It's like, oh, like this is the big news, and this is mm-hmm. where these kids are going. Then we have Jack and Rachel talking about their end of college plans because they're still trying to figure it out. And Jack comes up, number one, he has a Apple laptop, which I love, but it's not the colorful ones. So I almost have no business wanting to even look at it, but whatever. It looks so heavy. That thing is like 20 pounds, has to be.
Listen, that's how he stays in shape.
He's not carrying it all the time. Oh my gosh. Also, there's like a Fleetwood Mac Rumors record behind them in this scene, which is like one of the best albums of all time.
Ooh.
Yeah. So good. So yeah, Jack has come up with this genius website idea called, was it Ask Jack?
No, umjack.com.
Jack. Yeah.
Stupid. Jack.
What the hell is Jack?
I don't. So, what is this website even supposed to do?
He doesn't have a plan. Rachel asks, just has like, a domain name. What's the concept? And he goes, Jack. Like that's the whole thing. I don't know. He's gonna put picture. Maybe it's like Sasha. What if it is a very very early version of OnlyFans?
Oh my God! Listen, he has been used for his body this whole season. Probably his existence on the show, so I could see it, because why not at this point, right? He's apparently a rich boy that has nothing better to do, so why not? Because listen, Facebook, right, was a rate women or rate girls site from the start.
I forgot about that. There was little fire signs,
yeah,
I think. little flames.
Yeah, I feel like this makes sense that that's what he would be trying to do, like bankrolled by his super rich stepfather.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when Eric comes in his graduation gown. And he's just like, are you supposed to wear pants with these? Why does he lift up his gown? Like, you could ask the question without revealing your boxers to everyone.
Why is Eric?
Why is Eric?
Just, I know y'all have talked about it a lot, so I'm not get. To, I need to just say it for the podcast, but we don't need to discuss it.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
When did Eric become this dumb?
We indicated what exactly the moment was.
Yeah,
and I absolutely forget, but we found it.
I think it was like it was earlier than we thought.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
It was like season like I want to say 4.
Oh, look, wow.
Yeah, look, I have tried so hard in justifying it and armchair experting, you know, the psycho, like the reason.
You really
why.
Did like a whole clinical session on why.
Because I'm like, oh yeah, this is why he's having like a problem, like he's needing attention, and like this is any sort of negative attention is good attention. Because nobody, like, I really, really tried to do it, and I'm still not convinced that the show is intelligent enough to make it deliberate. Aside from the fact, it's like Wilfred L's funny. Let's make him a fucking clown. And that's it.
Basically. And it's just, again, because on Disney Plus, right, when you pause it, it's the original picture of all of them.
Yeah.
And I think that's what was pissing me off more, because I was like, well, that's the Eric I remember, the older brother that I had the crush on. And now it's this. Just like they did Joey and Friends, right? Where when we first meet Joey, he's this really well-to-do actor that's like kind of, you know, rich-ish, smart, like funny, but still has his like brain cells, and then they just, it all goes to hell.
I think it really is just like, by the time that show's finished back in the 90s with like 7 to 10 seasons, they ran out of material, and so they just made them caricatures of the original characters. True. And I feel like Corey is a really good example of that as well, because we used to actually love Corey, and like suddenly he turns into this like babyish, like attention-seeking monster.
Yes.
So I think it just happened. I think the thing is Eric is like the very good, like the representation of it all, but like he's not the only character that was, you know, bitten by this bug of like too much time passing.
Also, they are harping on the fact that, oh, Wilfred L gained weight. He's like a big guy now. I am looking at his legs. He looks tremendously amazing. He has really nice.
Well, it's because it's not up to Hollywood standards of skinny. Exactly. That's the problem.
I think he looks great. I'm looking at thigh, and I have nothing to complain about.
Very nice thighs. Very nice thighs on Wilfred L, gotta say. I love a meaty thigh. Looks great.
Yeah, and
it's not even meaty. I feel.
Oh no, I just, that's what I call men's thigh.
Oh, correct.
You know, just a meaty thigh.
Yeah. He has one of those short boxers. I think they're like almost boxer briefs, but like they're still like cottony.
Yeah.
Are we like pro short boxers?
I don't understand how you could do anything but a boxer brief.
Yeah, because the long
other everything's just jiggling around down there if you have boxers,
right? But it's also like very, you have to like stuff like extra fabric in there.
What do you mean? Oh, in your pants because of the boxers.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, like the legs. You think I would? Yeah, think we get. I mean, we're granted like they do not make women's clothing to be baggy at all.
Imagine,
I agree with you. I feel like it would get bunched up in there. Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe. So Angela's dad comes in. We've met him a few times before. The first time we met him as a college professor, and he was an actor that played a totally different character. And then more recently, we've met him before with Angela's dad as this military man. Like, my favorite moment was when like Sean was trying to do, what was it, the ROTC? He was trying to get in, like Sean was doing like laps and push-ups. And I even remember Eric was like trying to do it as well, and he like got winded after a second.
Ended in a trash can, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he literally ended up in a trash
can. Yeah. I like Angela's dad. He's the one who got Angela and Sean back together, but he just seems very like grounded.
Angela's very grounded, and that's why we loved her at the beginning. She was the only one that made any sense for like 3 seasons.
Yes. I also, he's so tall. Like when Angela looks at him, she's just like looking up at a skyscraper.
Even Sean is looking all the way up and like is just like, oh my God.
Well, we talked about this about how short the cast is on average. And like Rachel's only like 5'10", so she's not even that tall. It's just everyone else is so short. Just,
In comparison, everyone's tiny. Everyone's Sasha sized.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
She asks like, oh, hey, what are you doing here? But it turns out he has been reassigned to Europe. And she's just like, oh, man, like, I thought you were going to be like requesting to be closer to me and like move closer. And he's like, yeah, I did. But I have to like, I have to do like upgraded security at the embassy. And so it's going to be a whole year in Europe, which like a year in Europe honestly sounds fabulous.
It's only a year. It's only a year. I feel as though if it was indefinite, then I feel like there would be more hesitation, but it's a freaking year. And it's like, it just feels like a no-brainer. The thing is that it's almost like never a year. Like, how many times have you heard, in especially in television tropes, where it's only supposed to be a year and then like people just never come home? Then they meet their like British boyfriends and then fall in love. And
I thought you meant for, okay, because like I was going to say, I didn't know if you meant for like the military, because like I don't really know how that, I don't have a lot of information on that.
I just feel like every single person that I know that is supposed to just go off to Europe for a year, they always like meet the love of their lives there. And now they're raising like really cute, like European babies.
I mean, who wouldn't fall in love in Europe? They have the best accents. Like, how are you going to go over there and not fall in love?
Listen, if anyone watched From Scratch, maybe you don't do that.
I've been waiting to watch From Scratch because I have the book.
Oh, have you read the book?
No, she's looking for it.
Oh, it's well, protect your heart is all I'll say.
Right here. It's within arm's reach. I have From Scratch. I have yet to read it.
Oh, protect your heart. Maybe you don't read it.
Okay. A memoir of love, Sicily, and finding home.
Okay. Don't read it around the holidays, because I want to deal with you like really sad around the holidays. Sad.
I love to cry.
You do love to cry, but
yeah, yeah, I've never cried for a whole two episodes. Oh. Like, that's wild.
Okay.
Well, oh, yeah. We need to, Sarah, we need to ask Sasha her thoughts on the cry reports.
Okay.
This is news to me. I found out about the cry report.
So, okay. So, there's this girl on TikTok that I follow. Jess, if you want to get the name, I would be appreciative.
I will find it. Yep, go ahead.
So she comes out quarterly. She started in March, of course, of a fiscal quarter. And basically what she does is she tracks every single time she cries and why. And there's different levels of crying. So she, for the first quarter, she cried only 45 times, which I feel like is relatively low
in 3 months. Yeah.
Or four yeah, 3 months. I feel like that's really good, but like some, it ranges, like she said, the most reasons why she cried in the first quarter was because of This Is Us.
Yeah. So she lists out the top five reasons she's cried. And now she started doing it by intensity as well.
Yes.
Where like a level one cry is just like a single tear.
A couple of tears.
Level true cry is like a couple, you know, a little bit of tearing. Level three cry is like inconsolable. So she is Maya Rose 2798 on TikTok. If you want to follow her, I was dying watching this. This is like the funniest thing I've ever seen. Listen, I am not like against crying. I feel like it is totally natural and acceptable to like let out your emotions in whatever way you see fit. And she also clocks like if it's a happy tears. I just can't relate to that because I truly don't cry happy tears.
Yeah, but same.
I just thought this was so funny to me because when I first watched this, I was like, 45 cries. That's so many. And Sarah was like, that's a lot. And I was like, it feels like a lot to me.
Yeah, I think I cry once a quarter.
Wow.
See, I'm with Sasha.
Yeah.
You know what? It probably for me is more like once a month every time I have PMS. But like, I don't know if that's really fair to me because like hormones are sloshing around in there.
Okay. I'm an aggressive PMSer. So I'm just like on a rampage.
Are you throwing stuff?
See, angrily? Sasha, I'm like you where I get angry, but then the angry leads to frustration, which leads to tears.
Correct.
The frustration tears is what happens.
That's me. Yeah. When I'm really angry, I also cry, but then I get pissed that I'm crying.
Yes.
It makes me more angry. It's a sick cycle.
Yeah. I'm with you, Sasha. But yeah, so this is the quarterly cry reports. Very, very funny on TikTok. Go follow her because it's really, really funny.
And she's only posted three times this year. And it's literally just been her cry reports.
It's so good.
I'm really looking forward to January, which is the next time I expect to hear from her. And then I think I'm going to do it as well this coming year.
But I would like to see your quarterly reports.
It's going to be very embarrassing because I feel like I'm going to be like a 70 pluser.
You're probably going to be like number of times I cried just looking out a window when it was raining.
Seven. Yeah, I like to do that. I like to feel like I'm in a movie. It's
wow. Do you cry at commercials, Sarah? Is it they're going to be?
Okay. No, because like Tom Palmer was sending us like videos of like things that like, TV show clips that'll make you cry. It's like, bitch, I don't need inspiration. My life is depressing enough to make me cry.
Oh god!
Or is there just cry. Dramatic AF? That's what it is.
I'm like a very sad kid. But it's okay. I'm not a kid anymore. Crazy. I know. Ooh. It's okay. It's fine. But I like it. I don't mind it, but who cares? Like, we'll get back to that in next March when the
Yeah, we'll be back with the quarterly report.
When the reports come out.
Can't we?
So this is he says, like, you should come to Europe with me. And right at that moment, like, as she's, like, considering it, of course, Sean walks in. And he is – the first thing he says is, oh, it's the man that put me and Angela back together. He shakes his hand and it's like, oh, no.
I do like this little friendship that they have between them. It seems pretty genuine. Mm-hmm. I think that's really important for your – significant other to get along with your parents. And I really like that Sean and Mr. General Monroe or whatever his name is.
Oh, yeah, Sergeant.
Sergeant. He's a sergeant. Moore. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Moore.
Sergeant Moore. Yes.
I'm very happy that they get along. It's cute.
Yeah. Listen, they've been through the ROTC together.
Yes. Yeah, they ran laps.
Yeah. There's just like a level of respect there that I think that like Sergeant Moore is like, you know what? Whoever's going to date my daughter has to like respect me. And I think Sean, even though he doesn't seem like the type who would like do well with authority, I think he respects Sergeant Moore after like pushing him so hard and then working so hard to like get Angela to see like, no, you're not going to be like your mom. Like, it's okay to be with Sean. So there is that level of respect with each other. And Sean, I love this. Like, Sean's like, and I mean, again, Angela doesn't need someone to take care of her, but I do like that Sean's like, I've been taking good care of your daughter. And he's like, I knew you would. So then he's like, listen, you have like stuff to talk about. I'm going to be at my hotel. And I love that Sean is the first one to be like, we should do dinner together. Like, Sarah, I thought that was so sweet, like, that he didn't wait on like her dad to suggest it, that he was the one who was like, we should do dinner.
Yeah, men take notes. If you want to be in, then you got to make the effort. And I think also it's like very notable that like Sean is very I think it took him a second, but he notices something's up with Angela, which is also very nice because I'm not going to lie. I don't think Drew does not know that I'm crying 75 times a quarter. So it's really nice that that Sean is very tapped into Angela.
He's obsessed with her. I want to make that clear. So everything she does, he's there.
Is that like a good thing? Like, do you want your significant other to be obsessed with you?
Do they expect me to be obsessed with them?
They don't have to be.
Then it's fine.
Yeah. I want somebody who's obsessed with me. That's all I want.
Yeah. I'm a little self-centered, so I wouldn't mind.
Yeah.
It.
Yeah.
Sean at this age, his like Angela can be his number one priority. That's totally fine. But like, he also has school and he also has friends and he also, you know what I mean? Like, he has hobbies. He has poetry. I just think like for someone to be, if you use the word obsessed, it feels like almost like they have nothing else going on. And it's like, that's a lot of pressure, you know, to feel like someone is like,
that is,
you know, all up in your business all the time.
Yeah. Well, what about Corey's obsession with Sean? Because Topanga is really trying to talk to him about this internship. And instead of engaging, he is like, well, he goes, what's going on? And then she tries to explain about the internship. And he goes, no, not about you. What's going on with Sean and Angela? That's what he cares about.
And if from jump, right, everyone around Topanga is so excited for her and what she's about to do. And then there's her own man that she's like, well, aren't you going to wish me good luck? And he's like, what? And then she's like, can you kiss me? What? And then he just thinks she's going to go do laundry. Just, I am he's in useless. Hell.
Yeah,
can
Corey,
you imagine?
It's totally useless. Yeah, so Topanga has to explain to Corey what the heck is going on, while Sean and Angela are talking about what's happening and this Europe thing. And Sean at first is like taking it pretty well. He's like, that's it? Like, go to Europe with your dad. That sounds good.
He thinks it's a trip. He thinks it's like a 1 or 2 week thing.
Yeah.
And then she says, no, it's for a year. And like, we just see him say like, oh, well, that's the bad thing. And then we don't really get to see them have any more conversation about it. And this is, again, to point out, like, to nitpick this episode, this is what bothers me, that we don't get a scene with Angela and Sean alone discussing it. Even that would be better. Or even Angela talking to Topanga about it, or Rachel, yeah, her roommate, right? We immediately jump to Corey and Sean, where Corey repeatedly just goes, no, 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 no. And this is so upsetting, Sarah, that like, Corey, this has nothing to do with you. 0% to do with you. Well,
if you ask Corey, it has everything to do with him. So he is kind of just making Sean feel worse. I think that if Corey was supportive and being like, it's just a year, you can go visit her, she can come and visit you, it's not going to be a big deal, I think that maybe Sean would feel better about all of this. But of course, it's Corey who is just harping on how horrible this is, and your relationship is going to die, and there's going to be some guy named Enrique who's going to be all over her. And he's really just like, really making it worse and worse for Sean. And none of this is surprising, because once again, Corey has a relationship where they have been together all of their adult lives or young adult lives. And I'm even thinking of, like, even when she went off, Topanga went off to Pittsburgh, like, she was gone for like 3 days and she came back. And that's what he's used to. And that's their love story. And he just takes their love story and projects it onto Sean and Angela. Exactly. And he has been the entire time that they've been together.
Yeah. And I think that's my issue, right, with that whole conversation, because Corey's like, no, she should never leave you. You should, you know, basically you should stunt her growth. You should constantly be a cloud hovering over her, and you should just envelop her in your being, and that and she should be submissive to your, you know, boy in Boy Meets World, right? So that's what Corey's giving big that energy. And I don't understand why. Like, to me, it's so embarrassing, because imagine turning down Yale for a boy.
Yes, that's the thing that drives me bonkers about Corey, is like, I wish he would just gauge where Sean is on all of this first, right?
Yes.
And so if Sean is like, oh, she's like, I feel I'm like, I don't want her to leave, blah, 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 I think you have to come in with and support wherever those feelings are, whether they're, I need to let her go, or I don't want her to go. I think you just need to like even that person out. And what Corey does is the exact opposite of evening anybody out. He amps them up in a way that is like very unhealthy. And like, the one positive thing I will say about Corey in this scene is that Sean says, I'm going to tell her, I'm not letting this one go, I'm going to tell her to stay. And Corey's like, no, you can't do that. Which, this is true. He should not do that. He should not say, you need to stay.
Okay, but then say the rest of the sentence.
No,
Jess,
yeah, but then it gets,
because it quickly goes downhill.
Yeah, and he says, you can't make this decision for her. That would be like me telling Topanga she can't go to Yale. It's a decision she has to make on her own. And Corey's like, well, you said she loves you, then there's no risk. Take it from experience. Women, I can't with this line. Women have to go through a process. With a woman, it's all about the process. And shoes. Why? How are you married? How did you get married, Corey?
I mean, what is up with Topanga, right? At this point, I'm like, sis, you good?
She's
this
not.
Is who you lay with.
She's not. Okay, this is what happened. No. And we've talked about this before. But these kids did not want to have premarital sex for whatever fucking reason. Yeah. So they rushed into getting married. And then she became wife first and Topanga second.
Yes.
And it wasn't until she's doing this for herself, getting this internship, where she was like, I need to do shit for me, because this entire season she's been like wife and just taking whatever Corey says.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, I'm gonna be like, yeah, Topanga, like, you really did give up Yale for Corey. And that's a decision that you have to stay with. But it's it, and it wasn't even like Corey's like saying is like, oh, it's like some big love gesture. In my opinion, it was just like she was afraid to take that risk.
Yes.
100%. And she was afraid to lose him. And it is a dish, like, it, I'm not knocking her decision, but it wasn't a grand love gesture. I think it was a decision made out of fear.
Yeah, and fear of what Corey would do and how he would just crumble. The house of cards his brain is built on.
Yeah. It wasn't, I don't know, like, I'm thinking, like, what happens if she went to Yale and then she did miss him and it wasn't what she wanted it to be? And she decided that, like, you know, as much as she appreciates being at Yale, like, she would rather be with Corey. I don't know. Like, would that have told a better story? Like, at least have her have the opportunity. Nonetheless, it's just Corey's just going off like Corey does. One other thing about this scene, Jess, like you and I have had a conversation recently about peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
I literally was going to bring that up. It's so funny that you said that.
So I just want to be very, very firm in telling you that Sean puts the jelly first.
He does. I saw.
And then goes into the peanut butter, as you should. Unlike-
Listen, I'm not saying that the way I'm doing it is like the way everyone should do it. I'm a monster. And I just...
I think Jess is correct.
No, but how? Why?
What do you mean? I think peanut butter first.
Why? Yeah. How?
Because it's easier to wipe off the fork. Yeah.
No, it's harder to wipe off than jelly is.
No, I just feel like peanut butter is a better base than jelly is. Like, it's, I can't imagine putting peanut butter on something so slippery and sloshing everywhere.
Well, wait, don't you put one on one side and one on the other?
I do. I'm not a jelly fan in general. Like, okay. I'm a peanut butter Nutella person, so maybe I shouldn't talk.
Oh, okay.
Peanut butter plus Nutella in the sandwich?
Yeah, like a half, like a toast. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That makes sense. I could see that being delicious.
So a Reese's, you know, basically. Yeah, that's basically
with hazelnut. With a little bit of hazelnut.
But... I'm just not a jam fan, basically. But I do believe jam goes on top of peanut butter because peanut butter can be a little dry. Mm. So jam helps her.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I hear you. He does either have strawberry or raspberry, which I think that is good because if you are dealing with the grape jelly, you are a child.
Ooh, okay.
Especially a child of the 90s. Like, nobody's going for the Concord grape these days.
I like to get the bougie jellies now that I'm an adult and can spend my money as I please.
Well, yeah, the marmalades.
I love a bougie. I love to go to like a Home Goods and find a random bougie jelly and be like, you're coming home with me. Mm. But yeah, so they're having this whole again. I can't. Corey's like, well, listen, it's all about the process. And Sean says, oh, so if I let her go through the process, she'll end up deciding to stay all by herself. And Corey's just like, exactly. And she's going to love you even more. She'll never go anywhere. And it's like, Corey, it really annoys me. Corey has dated a single person like his entire life. And he just assumes that like everybody else's relationship is exactly like his, which again, not true. It's a fluke. You're very lucky that Topanga didn't go to Yale and leave your dumb butt. So like, again, the fact that Sean is so quick to always listen to Corey's advice is just bad on Sean.
Totally. I gotta be honest with you. Like, I mean, part of the reason why Corey's so insufferable is that like nothing bad has ever happened to Corey ever. Pretty much like he's never experienced loss. He like broke up with Topanga for like half a minute. I think if Topanga went to Yale, like give this boy some hardship.
I agree. I think it makes for a better story. Even if it's temporary, Sasha, even if she goes and comes back, at least it's something he had to go through.
Exactly. And don't we want our main character to have some kind of like a hero's journey?
Yeah.
Isn't that the most, again, the most basic
of storytelling?
Yeah, storytelling. Thank you. Because I was just like, I can't get over that this badass Topanga just like stayed for him. And it's just letting him walk all over her, kind of, right? The episode in this season where he's basically, his ego is bruised because Topanga is just like better than him.
Yes.
At everything. So it's just the, all of it. It's just Corey's pissing me off. And I agree with y'all that I loved Corey, but the dimension is gone from him. And he's just kind of whiny.
I think a lot of shows just like were too nervous to make big choices or like drastic choices, like spending, like having Topanga gone for a few episodes to beat Yale. Like, I just don't think they were looking to make like exciting decisions. So we're back at the student union and Jack finds out, he's like looking at his phone and it's getting, I don't know, it's looking a little sketchy. He has a serious crisis and he finds out he is poor. Sarah, one episode to the end of the season and Jack is now poor.
Talking about hardships, right? Mm-hmm. So essentially his dad doesn't want to back his genius
Amjack.com.
Amjack.com, and has cut him out unless he becomes a investment banker, like his stepfather himself. And Jack decides that he will not become an investment banker and he is cut out from his riches and he is now in a depression. Boo-hoo. We're all poor.
Poor little rich boy, right? Like, that's what it's giving.
Yeah. It's not like he lost like his trust or anything. He still has money, but he's just being the drama. He's being a brat because he's not getting what he wants. He did not get the money needed to buy the domain amjack.com. He's really upset. And guess what? There's no coupons for whatever
domain names,
domain names.com.
It's funny whatever. To me too that Rachel has like no time for this. He's like, I want to be rich. And she's like, okay, work for your dad. He's like, but I want to start my own business. And she's like, okay, then start your own business. Like, she's like, I'll have time for your privilege, sir. Like, I have my future to figure out. Maybe I'm going to the Peace Corps. Like, she's trying to figure out everything. Meanwhile, in the freaking background, Eric's calling Jack's stepdad, trying to be his son. It's just like, geez Louise.
Oh my God. Eric will become whatever stepdaddy needs. Okay.
Truly. Yeah. Truly. So Topanga comes in and Corey thinks that they're fighting. He's just like, oh, I thought we had a fight. And Topanga, I will say, Sarah, we've been like really rough on Topanga's like clothing this season. Like, she's just, it's like, it's not it. It's not it. I will say I kind of did like the like burgundy wine colored like pants skirt situation she had on for this interview.
Is she wearing a skirt or pants? I can't
tell based on
that. Like that makes a big difference.
What do you prefer, pants or skirt?
If it's pants, then we're very much in on this. If it's skirt, not so much. But also blouse is very unfortunate.
No, but I like the color of the – I think she's not – it's not as cutesy as some of the other stuff was.
It's not as – they're dressing her very old and matronly. And I think that this has very much potential. Her hair looks good.
It does. This outfit does give me big vibes of I'm in college and I'm interviewing for something. So I'm dressing like I'm 40, which like we all did.
Yeah, I was like, the business casual was mess when I was dressing up in the 2000s. So I understand.
Yeah.
But we've established that, right? The way they just did the women on this show is horrible. And I think compared to Angela, like she looked really nice. I think her outfits look really good. So I don't know why Topanga's outfit.
I'll tell you what.
To outfit like
freaking
this.
Trina McGee probably had to bring her own wardrobe, and that's probably why she looks so good.
Well, that's also why Trina McGee's hair always looks so cute because she did it herself.
That's correct. That is actually correct.
But I love this because yet again, Topanga's trying to talk to Corey about her like interview with Brown Elliott, and he's just like, "Oh, how'd it go?" And she's just like, "Oh, they all applauded for me, but it's really hard to read, and they've narrowed it down to 100 candidates." He doesn't even pay attention. He's too busy, too focused on Sean. And he runs over. This is a very
intense interview process. I've never had to compete against like 500 people for a job like this, and I would be very nervous.
Sounds very stressful.
I mean, she's about to become a lawyer. So I guess you got to jump in because every lawyer show we've watched literally tells you that it's truly the worst job.
Have you ever watched Ally McBeal?
Ooh, a little bit. Not enough to like discuss, but, but like I know the show.
Jess, we should check out Ally McBeal one day because that was a lawyer show, but also there was like dancing CGI babies.
Oh, right. I'm so sorry.
Yes, I.
Are you okay?
No, I did. I did not have like a blip of like dementia or anything like that. Was that happened a lot?
Oh,
it
my
was
gosh,
like remember wild. Like in the early 2000s, there was always or like 90s, there was like that like dancing baby meme.
Yes,
that was like from Ally McBeal,
and she Ally always McBeal?
She always used to see dancing babies, but it was like a lawyer show that was like kind of serious at sometimes and like. Robert Downey Jr. was like a big deal in that show and they fired him because of like his addiction issues. And it was like the biggest tragedy ever because Ally McBeal and his character was like a match made in heaven. Like everybody like really heavily loved that couple. And then like he had to leave and it was like Ally McBeal was like always a mess. She was kind of like Carrie from Sex and the City where she was like always messing up relationships, but her and Robert Downey Jr. were like the perfect couple. And then he had to go and everyone was so depressed. And then Hayden Panettiere showed up and she was like, I'm your daughter.
Oh my God.
So yeah, that's what happened on Ally McBeal.
Wow.
And that's what you missed on Glee.
That's what you missed on Glee.
So Sean and Corey, like again, Corey's giving shitty advice. He's like, okay, and this is what you're gonna do, and she's gonna stay, and you're gonna tell her you love her and you're gonna be together forever and everything's gonna be great. So Sean goes outside to talk to Angela. And she's just like, you know, I'm like going crazy about this. Thank you so much for letting me work it out. And he's just like, you know what? You have your process. And she's just like, I went back and forth so many times. You mean the world to me. And he says, you mean everything to me. And she's like, I could never leave you. And he goes, I could never leave you. And then she, as she's hugging him, she's just like, unless you said I could go. And he is like shocked. He's like, what? And Angela says, when will I ever get this chance to be with my father? And like Sean is just like nodding, like, what do you even say to that? You know, like, I think the thing is like Sean was too wrapped up in like what it would mean for Angela to leave and didn't. I mean, he lost his father. Like he knows better than most what it would mean to like have more time with your dad. And like, again, if we're going to focus on Sean, which we shouldn't be, we should be focusing on Angela. But if we're going to be focusing on Sean, I wish they would have had him have that like revelation sooner. He just gets like Sasha, he gets caught up in like the Corey tornado.
Yeah, because I do believe that Sean meant better than what he comes off as because of Corey. But I do think that he was like, well, that's what she wants. So I will let her take the lead and kind of, you know, be there for her. And because I love her and do whatever she wants, you know, like kind of I'll wait a year if I have to kind of moment. I also didn't see Sean just buying a ticket to Europe and getting a job there. So again, but Corey has to come in and make everything worse. So I feel like that was a nice mature conversation. Mm-hmm. And then it should have now moved, like we said, the lens to Angela, where now Angela gets to kind of shine, look back at her time on the few seasons and, you know, just go from there. But absolutely not. No.
Yeah. So, Sarah, we go to Corey and Topanga's apartment and we find out 2 days have passed. And he's like, I have been spending like all my time with Angela. And I love this, Sarah, that like Sean made the move to, instead of like immediately going to Corey and being like, this didn't work, she's leaving, and like flipping out, he was like, you know what, I'm gonna soak up like every last second I can with her.
Yeah. And I think that that's because Sean is a sensitive soul, and I think that that was really good of him. So he eventually has this discussion with Corey, and Corey's like in disbelief and he's really, really upset and mad for Sean. And, you know, Sean kind of like explains the situation. And of course, like Corey's like, she's testing you. She wants you to show how much she loves her. She wants you to fight for her. Like, you should, like, propose to her or something like that. And then, like, once again, like, that little, like, bug gets in his ear. And he's like, oh, like, I should test her. Like, or this is a test. And, like, I should prove to her how much I love her. And it's just, once again, like, Corey just giving really awful trash advice. He says Topanga is always testing me, and but just I always pass, and she calls Topanga the old lady.
It's so stupid. He's like, listen, you weren't paying attention, when like the joke is on Corey because he hasn't been paying attention all freaking episode to Topanga.
Exactly. Yeah,
and
so she's going off.
She's in a skirt suit. She's in her little black skirt suit.
I do like this one.
Yeah, it's a little pins. I don't really like pinstripes, but that's okay. I like the red. And so she's off to her final rounds of interviews. And she literally says, I have the final round of interviews in New York. And then she says, I'll be back before Angela leaves. But literally the only thing Corey hears is, no, Angela's not leaving. Like, Corey just doesn't do well with change in general. Part of it is he feels the need to micromanage everyone's relationships around him.
Yes.
Especially with Sean. But I also think part of it is he just, like, hates change. And so he's just like, no. Like, you failed. You don't know what's going on. And he's like, where's Topanga going? And he says, I don't know, the laundromat. Your wife is going out of town and you won't even know about it, sir. You're not paying attention. What's going on, Sasha? I cannot.
Just exactly. And I know I skipped to this before, but because it's just, I can't get over it. I really just can't. She's going, you know, she's one of 500 people up for a very prestigious interview. And all you have to contribute to your partner, to your wife, to the, you know, person you love, your alleged best friend, blah, 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 is, oh, she must be going to a laundromat.
In a full suit, in a briefcase.
No, but I doubt he notices her.
Of course not. Of course not.
Yeah.
And it's like supposed to be funny, but it's really sad because like Topanga doesn't even seem like mad at Corey. Paying attention. She's just like, all right, bye, honey. See you later.
Yeah.
It's like, girly, like, aren't you upset that he's not encouraging you? He's not supporting you.
She's just used to this behavior at this point where it's like, oh, you're going to pay all the attention to Sean. Okay, great. See you later. Like,
why are we settling for less than what she deserves?
Mm-hmm. And Corey tries to spin this as like, oh, you didn't even ask her to stay? Like, you didn't ask her to stay. You obviously didn't fight for her, and that's why she's leaving. Not because, I don't know, she maybe wants to go spend time with her dad in fucking Europe. No, it's because you didn't fight for her. Instead, Sean was a, I don't know, supportive boyfriend who supports his girlfriend's decisions. It's, like, so annoying how actually decent Sean would be in relationships if he stuck to his instincts instead of listening to Corey. It's messy.
And he's like so sad, like, because like Corey's like reprimanding Sean. Mm-hmm. And once again, Sean is a very sensitive soul. And he's like, okay, like, I'm fucking up. Like, yeah, like, I'm losing the love of my life. Like, I'm doing something wrong. And he looks so sad when Corey's yelling at him, when in actuality, Sean is on his own doing really well and taking it as best as he could.
Yeah. And so Sean like barges into Angela and Rachel's dorm, which somehow the door moved on.
One more thing. And Corey says it's you versus your dad or her
dad.
Versus
her dad.
And that is the worst thing, because guess what? Because once again, we were like very much encouraging the fact that he has a great relationship with Sergeant Moore. If you pit yourself against your significant other's parent, like 9 out of 10 times you're going to lose. That's what it is.
And not like, only just a parent, right? That's what I think drives me crazy, is that this is her only parent. They both have mommy issues and being abandoned. So this, you know, parent has stuck around for Angela, has really, you know, had a great relationship with her, and this is all Angela has. So the older you get, I feel like the more closer a lot of us maybe feel like the older we get, the more closer we want to be with our parents. So I understand Angela being like, no, this is like my only parent. My mom left me, mm-hmm. and I have so much trauma from that. So I don't necessarily want this parent to go. Sean, of all people, knows that feeling. And he has nothing holding him back. Why can't Sean just go to Europe?
Truly, yeah. It doesn't make any sense. And so he lets Corey like get in his head and brainwash him.
Yep.
And so he barges into the dorm where Sergeant Moore is like taping up some boxes. Angela's not there. She went to go get more boxes. And Sean says, she's not leaving. I'm going to ask her to stay. And she will, because she wants to be with me. And Sergeant Moore is like, no, she's like coming with me. And he's like, I thought you were my friend. And it's like, oh, my God. He's like, what kind of friend? Corey. But it's so stupid. What kind of friend puts us together and then rips us apart because he wants her to go to Europe? And he's just like, that wasn't my intention. I want what's best for Angela. And Sean says, I'm what's best for Angela. I am here for her every single day of her life. Can you say that? And he says, no, I can't. It's like, and he stands up too. It's like, whoa. Very tall man. And Sean says, I can, and I know what that's worth, because no one who ever loved me was not my mom and not my dad. And like, I think that Sergeant Moore like understands, where he's just like, I'm really sorry that, like, I think he gets it, Sarah. I think he sees mm-hmm. that like this is a person not wanting to let go of like his person that he has. Like, Angela is his family. He doesn't have other family. And I think he understands, like, it's just Sean not wanting to let her go. And I really like how Sergeant Moore handles this. I feel like it's very respectful. He doesn't get loud. He doesn't just berate Sean. He's like trying to understand where he's coming from.
Well, I think that he has the ability to realize that at the end of the day, it is Angela's decision. He didn't say like, Angela, you're coming with me or not. He's like, I would love for you to come. And he said that to Angela. And I think like, if Angela decided that she wanted to stay at Pembroke University with Sean and his friends, I do think that Sergeant Moore would be supportive of that. And I think like, also he wants to root for his daughter to find love. And if she found love and chooses Sean, like, of course he's going to be happy about that. So I think that he has the ability to put his daughter first. And I think like, that's really beautiful in a parent daughter relationship. And it's selfless. And I wish that he would rub off on Corey Matthews. Mm-hmm.
Because this, everything Sean said, right? I was like, oh, this is like Corey's line that they were like, okay, we're going to cross out and now give it to Sean. Because I've just never heard Sean be this ridiculous and this unreasonable, right? Because maybe because the counterpart is Corey. Mm-hmm. So he always comes off as better or whatever. But it's so unfortunate that Sean is not able to kind of navigate all of this. And Sergeant Moore has to be, I think, two people's parent here instead of like maybe just Angela's. And I agree with y'all that, you know, that he takes a step back and he's like, okay, maybe these quote unquote adults, like, you know, they're 21. I still feel that it's young and that you shouldn't, you know, get married at 21. My God. But it's also weird that Sean is like trying to buck up to this man. Like, it's just, that's not it. Like,
yeah, he's like it's so weird that he's like threatening Angela's dad with proposing to her. Like, it's like such a weird choice where he's like, well, what if I propose to her? How would you like me now? And they like start like laughing in the awkward like uncomfortableness of everything. And Sergeant Moore even says, like, you know what, if you decided that you wanted to get married and that you think you could take each care of each other for the rest of your lives, then I'll step aside and I'll let you be the most important man in her life. Mm-hmm. And Sean says, you know what? I guess we're just two guys who love the same girl and want what's best for her. And Sergeant Moore is just, he knows. And he's just like, well, one of us better figure out what that is. And Angela comes back in with a single box, I might add.
Yeah.
She'll get more boxes. She got a single box.
Yeah. She probably just like went down to the trash room and was only able to obtain one box. Mm-hmm. It's not going to get you very far. So Sean is fully prepared to propose to Angela in this moment. And Angela kind of does this little thing, this little speech, or she shares to Sean like how much she appreciates that he's not pushing her, mm-hmm. how much like she loves that he's letting her be independent and go off, and how she really appreciates the fact that like she's choosing to be with her father, and like she appreciates that he acknowledges like what that could be like, mm-hmm. and like this kind of just switches the perspective for him.
And Sasha, it's so interesting too, because she literally says like, you're the only person who knows how important it is for me and my dad to spend time together.
Yep.
And like, as she's saying this, she's like physically backing away from him towards her dad. And like, I think this is when it clicks with Sean finally. And again, it seems a little strange to me that I'm just going to say it was like the tornado of like the Corey tornado, like getting into his mind. But like, this seems to be the moment where he realizes like, oh yeah, shit. Like, she does have a limited amount of time with her dad. I shouldn't be so selfish.
Yeah. And I appreciate that finally, you know, Angela is the one that was like, thank you for letting me be selfish. Mm-hmm. Because again, what we're used to watching mm-hmm. in these moments isn't that, right? Like, I feel like we're used to watching, oh, you talked about it and you said it first, so I'll just go along.
Yeah. Yeah. I did like this though. And so finally he like, you know, we realized, okay, he's not going to propose. And that's where they end that conversation.
And I like that, because like, it's just like, not everything has to be like some big romantic gesture. Like, it would feel so weird and inappropriate mm-hmm. and like bad timing. And once again, doing actions based out of fear, like proposing at your high school graduation, because it's either I go to Yale or we could break up, or I propose to you and then we get married and we're together. Mm-hmm. Cough, cough, hint, hint.
Yeah. So like, everybody like is saying goodbye to Angela and the student union, especially Rachel, because they're roomies. Jack is just being super selfish and talking about how he's poor. Eric hugs Angela and he's just like, let it out, let it out. And he's just like, things are getting, and he starts like singing to her. And it's just like, Eric, you two wearing clothes. Like, stop it. What are you leaving the poor girl alone? She does not want your hugs.
I also do you like his giant pile of headshots.
Yes. Oh, right. Oh my god. Which I was like, who, what Eric is that? You know, what season?
Because this is from the episode where they Eric that weird episode called Eric Hollywood, where Eric goes to Hollywood episode. And they
it's a few seasons ago.
That was season 5 or something.
I think it was 5.
Yeah. And basically everyone's like an alternate version of themselves.
And oh, got it.
Yeah, yeah, Eric yeah, goes to one. Hollywood with Feeny.
It's just so funny because in certain moments Eric is such a like ladies man. He has like women, and then sometimes he's just like a creep and can't even like be 10 feet from a woman.
Yeah,
just pick a lane.
He like is like, here are 500 of them, my phone number's on them, so hand them out, but don't, they're only 500, so don't hand them out to any hairy chicks. Which is like, again, this is the, in the 90s people loved to talk about like, oh, ew, women in Europe have hairy armpits. It's like, okay, we've evolved, thank you.
Right. It reminds me of the first season where Topanga is like very granola, and Corey makes this joke where he's like, are you gonna be one of those chicks that like don't shave their armpits? And Topanga like very non-judgmentally takes the question very seriously. She goes, oh, I haven't decided yet. And she says it like so like like, yeah, maybe, like I haven't thought about it yet, maybe.
What happened to her? What happened to that Topanga?
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
She cut her hair and she lost it. She said, hello, goodbye, I'm going to the mall. See you later. Remember that?
Hello, goodbye, I'm so at the mall.
I'm so at the mall, yeah. And that's what changed. And there was this one time where her daddy took her shopping to the mall or something like that. And that's when she changed. She went to shopping to New York with her dad. And that's when we lost Topanga.
Oof.
Yeah. But she explains it once again in Girl Meets World. There's this episode where, I don't know, like Riley or somebody like goes up to Topanga and is just like, what happened to you? Like, why are you not this person anymore? And Topanga is like, well, she's still in me, but like people have to grow up.
No, Topanga, they don't have to change that much, you know?
Yeah, and especially maybe if you're with someone that is will never grow up. So maybe that's why you have to grow
up. That's why you have to grow up. That's a great point.
So Angela is about to leave, and she's like, Corey, is Topanga going to make it? And he's like, yeah, she'll be here. She's been busy doing something. I don't know what. It's ridiculous. But Angela thanks Corey. Again, if she only knew. She's just like, thank you for being my friend, for believing in me and Sean as much as you believe in you and Topanga. And so she hugs them and she's like, I owe you. And it's again, like, if only she knew. I think she's right about the one part about like believing in her and Sean. Mm-hmm. Like that is true. That's very much true. He's always been very pro Angela and Sean.
Yeah.
But like, I don't think he has the right tactics for all of it. But Topanga makes it in time and they hug. And I did really like this part, Sarah. I wish we got more moments of just the two of them, like having a girls' night before she left or something. But
yeah, that was very sweet. I think I really needed more one-on-one time with Angela and whomever. Same. I think that like I would have liked to see what her and Sean did the 2 days that they were alone, like being loving and whatever. But their friendship was sweet. It's almost like we got more of like Rachel and Angela's friendship, especially in this season, more so than Topanga and Angela, but nonetheless. And then we have her go over and give Sean a hug, and they're sweet. They're like, you know, I love you. It's sad. Like, I think that it's so sad when relationships just don't work out because love isn't enough. Like there's this like old Lana Del Rey song where it's like the line is, sometimes love is not enough and the road gets tough. I don't know why. And it's just like, sometimes love is just not enough and the road does get tough. And I don't know why.
You know, her 76th crush.
Yeah, I kind of want to cry. So like that was that song, that album is Born to Die, and I listened to that like on repeat when my then ex-boyfriend, now fiance, and I broke up in senior year of college. I just listened to that album over and over again. Oh, brings back the best of memories.
I also would have liked for Angela and Sean to talk about their future. This way we would know that, oh, they talked about it on the show when the show felt like they needed to include it, which means that they'll be fine, right? Instead of just like, okay, shrugs.
It's just very much left as like I guess we're long distance now. Like they don't talk a ton about it. I totally agree with that. I wish there were more moments with just Angela one-on-one with literally any of the characters. But I do love that, like, Sergeant Moore says, thank you for giving me and my daughter this chance. And he does say, like, I know how important it is. It's just like she like leaves and like looks out the window, and it's very sad. Like, Sean looks devastated. And Corey tries to console him by saying, like, listen, don't spin out of control, okay? And this is when Topanga chooses to tell Corey that she got the Brown Elliott internship. Corey has no idea what she's even talking about because he hasn't been paying attention to her for fucking weeks. And she's like, yeah, they offered me a scholarship at NYU Law School. Once I graduate and pass the bar, I get to work for their firm. And like, okay, Sasha, the literally only appropriate reaction is, oh my gosh, I'm so happy for you. Like, amazing. You're so good. You're so talented. This is going to be wonderful for our future together. And yeah, of course, that's not what we get from Corey.
And like she's going to be a lawyer in New York, right? Yes. Where every 90s sitcom tells us that's like the most amazing job you can get. So what the F are you doing with this dude that literally his reaction is, no, the old lady, the ball and chain is taking me away. It's just, I can't help but roll my eyes at how unfortunate that whole situation is.
Yeah, because she says, Corey, we have to move to New York. And he's like, what? Why? Why did no one tell me? Why did no one tell me about this? Someone's got to tell me. And he just flips out. And again, it's like, okay, you're graduating. Like, this is good news that your wife has like a prospect. Like, you all have talked about wanting to buy a house. Like, she's going to be...
She's not... So, I just want to clarify. They're only freshmen. Like, or maybe they're sophomores. They're not graduating, like...
I'm sorry.
This is an internship.
This is Eric's graduation.
Eric's graduation. This is an internship in the summer. Now...
Well, that's even less of a big deal.
I know. But we know that... spoilers for Boy Meets World. But, like, we know that, like, they do wind up in New York. And I don't know if, like, she goes to the internship and they eventually hire her as something. But, you know, it's... As of now, it's just a summer thing. And I'm going to say something shocking. If Corey wants to stay in Philadelphia... Let him stay in Philadelphia for the summer. Like, what's the big deal? Let Topanga do her own thing.
This is even less of a big deal. This is so stupid.
I know. Yeah, it's freaking dumb. It's freaking dumb because it's specifically an internship.
And now, can't Eric study abroad? Like, if they're sophomores, I completely forgot they were sophomores.
Yeah, Sean could study abroad.
Sean,
yeah. Or he can go to Europe for the summer and he can get like a waiter job or teach little Italian kids English.
A year is nothing, truly.
Especially when you're in college.
Yes.
My best friend did long distance for 4 years from a man in London and she was in Oklahoma. And then he moved here finally and they got married. It is what it is. So it's possible.
Yeah. It's so stupid. And again, this we get a to be continued and we're going to be at the finale, which is a 2-part finale. But again, like, I don't know, Sasha, maybe this is just me, but I'm like, we were saying goodbye to Angela. And then it just completely gets overshadowed by this outburst from Corey.
Bothers me so much that this is his reaction. And this is like, you know, supposed to be a couple that we're looking up to, that we're like, oh, this is like a great pair that you should be.
But I did. And I don't know about you, Sasha, but like I really did. I remember when I was a kid, I really did look up to this couple.
Same.
I really stated that I thought that they were like the greatest couple of all time. Like I thought that this was what it was. And I think it's because as a kid growing up in the 90s, it was very much the Disney, like, we want a prince to take care of us and save us from whatever vibes. And that's what Corey is. Like, he really is, like, grand sweeping romantic gestures are not so romantic, but maybe he thinks they are. And, like, believing, like, if you just love enough, then you can conquer anything. And that's why I think, like, their relationship I idolized as a kid, because it's like, Topanga was the damsel in distress who wasn't really a damsel in distress, and Corey was her savior. And if he just loves hard enough, then they can face the world together. And when I was a kid, I was like, yeah, that's all I need is like somebody to like love me until the end of earth. And now I'm watching it as an adult and it's like, I need someone so much more. I need somebody that I can grow with. I need somebody who hypes me up. I need somebody that supports me and loves me, but ultimately wants me to be my own person. And it's just like, that's not what this relationship is. And that might be the saddest thing about rewatching Boy Meets World as a 33-year-old woman.
No, I think you're right. I think it's, here's the thing, like, and we're going to get more into this, I'm sure, in our, like, series wrap-up and everything. But, like, The show is still wonderful. Like, we are, like, nitpicking and everything. The show is amazing and taught us, like, a lot of lessons. And it was, like, revolutionary. And I think the thing to remember is, like, it was revolutionary, like, for its time.
Yeah.
Like, now we have higher expectations, as we should, about seeing representation on our television, seeing stories told by and for women and not just white cis men, right? And so it's a very different time than it was, but it does feel a little shitty that, like, on Angela's send-off episode, it's not even about Angela. Mm-hmm. And we could say that about so much about Angela's storylines that, like, literally none of them are actually about Angela. And that's what kind of
you if you ignore all the Corey stuff, then it's kind of a sweet story. Like, Sean ultimately decided that he can relate to what Angela's going through. He would rather, if he got the chance to spend time with his dad before his dad left him, or even his mom to some extent, then he would take that opportunity tenfold. And ultimately, like, he sacrificed, like, his wants for Angela. And I think that that is sweet. And Angela decided that she is going to not, you know, follow Topanga's lead, and she's going to go off and do something for her. And I think that if you sift through the mud, there's something there. There's something there.
And Angela is someone to, like, look up to, you know, and Angela and Sean's relationship, I actually truly enjoy, besides some weird moments. But for the most part, I truly think that they're a smart, mature relationship.
Yeah. With common interests, and they grew together. I know for a fact that Sean turned into a different person with more mature interests and hobbies and, you know, whatnot because of Angela. I think that maybe that is the most, like, interesting thing, Sasha, is that, like, as an adult, I really value and appreciate the Sean and Angela relationship. While when I was a kid, I appreciated and loved the Topanga and Corey relationship. Mm-hmm. And, like, I think that's, like, the show of maturity is, like, oh, wow, like, actually, that's the relationship that I want to idolize.
Yeah. I think especially, too, when they first start dating and they realize, oh, we're not Corey and Topanga. Like, we're our own thing. And we need to, like, figure out what that means and what that looks like for our relationship. I really, really appreciated those, like, early stages of their relationship. But you know what? It's, like, at least we leave the show, at least we leave Angela off on, like, a very hopeful note of, like, she's going to spend time in with her dad in Europe. Like, she doesn't get a crappy ending. Like, yeah, the end of her story isn't all focused on her, but at the very least, they didn't, like, shaft her with a terrible ending. It could have definitely been worse. So I do just want to, like, ode to Angela. Like, we loved her. She got my, like, MVP point one season, and she only was in a few episodes. It was just, she was such a standout for me. I loved her on the show. Shout out to Trina McGee. Like, I think she played the part perfectly. Very impactful culturally. Again, like I said before, like, an interracial couple on television was on a children's show, nonetheless, like, a very big deal. And I really did love Angela. I'm really sad that she's not in the final episode, but at the very least, we get to kind of stop down and appreciate her as a character on her own. And even if the show isn't going to, like, give her her due, we can on the podcast. Yeah. So at least we 100%. Get that.
Yeah. I'm just, like, always very, like, you know, the Trina McGee, like, came in, she was already a mother when she came in. She was in her 20s, started working with a bunch of 16-year-olds. Her first season that she was a cast member in, she was pregnant with a child. Like, she went in there, like, everybody else was going out to dinners and partying after. Like, she had a family that she had to take care of.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's what her focus was to be a mother and support her family. And, you know, sometimes she got the shit at the end of the stick. But, you know, ultimately, like, she became a beloved character that added very, like, much needed maturity and stability into this show with a bunch of freaking, like, morons. And and she, like, was, like, she really did make a difference. Like, I think that and that we can appreciate. And I hope that she's still getting that that Boy Meets World syndication money.
Hell yeah. Extent. Getting those, like, getting that yeah. money, honey.
I mean, enough to be gallivanting in Hawaii a few years ago.
Oof. Love it.
But that's our episode. Angela's Ashes. Sasha, thank you so much for coming on with us. Not just this time, but every time. You're such a big support for us. And I know we're making our final rounds here with the show. But of course, we're not going to be strangers. You're going to come back on for bonus content.
Period.
All of that.
Listen, but maybe we're watching Ally McBeal together. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm like, you know what? We haven't talked about it, Jess, but I might be like very high on the Ally McBeal rewatch.
Or Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Was yes. that the 90s? That,
yes.
Yeah. So actually, like, our friends Boy Meets World Fever are talking about doing a Sabrina rewatch. So we can just piggyback off of them.
Well, there you go.
Just like, hey guys, actually, this is going to be our new rewatch too. But yeah, Sasha, like, what are you up to? You're such a busy lady.
Oh my God. First of all, thank you so much for having me. It's been so much fun listening to all of this and to now finally coming on. Just wow. And what an episode to really get to dive into this wild, wild world with y'all. And as for me, I am doing a weekly pop culture podcast over on Rob Has a Podcast called Mess Magnets, where we cover celebrity gossip, celebrity mess, pop culture, et cetera, et cetera. Honestly, vibes only. So yeah. Check that out. It's RHAP/Mess Magnets. And I also cover The Amazing Race over on Silent Podcast. I just had Omer Zahir on from Survivor. So it was just like honestly 2 hours of him like schooling me on Amazing Race history.
Ooh.
Check that out. And also I cover Never Have I Ever with Chappelle on Silent Podcast. You know, we have one episode left. It will drop this.
You're like milking it. You're like, yeah, we're like, oh, it's the worst. Come when we
oh
feel
my
like
God.
It.
No, we're literally your toxic faves in that way, where we'll breadcrumb you with episodes at this point.
Pretty
but yes,
genius.
Thank you. Thank you. And I was also guesting on the 90 Day Fiancé podcast with Puya. So if you're like, I can't keep track of any of that, well, follow me on Twitter at funsize_04 and you'll know everything else I'm up to. And seriously, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Sasha. Thank you for being our very last Boy Meets World guest. It is wild. And I love everything that you do. So thank
and
you.
And y'all are just like killing it. You know, I can't believe the series is about to end. It's wild.
I know. It is
wild. Yeah.
So yeah, what we have we are covering Brave New Worlds part 1 and 2 together, the last 2 episodes of Boy Meets World, the series proper, not counting Girl Meets World. And we will be covering them together in our next episode. Just Jess and I, we started that way. We are ending that way. And then aside from that, Jess and I also cover Dawson's Creek. We are getting into some really juicy stuff over there. Talk about mess and drama. That is what's happening on Dawson's Creek. And then we have some Christmas content coming out for Christmas and the holiday season. And stay tuned for December for that. You can find us at Shit90sPod on Twitter and Instagram.
Fantastic. You can find me at the Jess Sterling on Twitter and Instagram. I'm covering Community over on Community Building on Posher Recaps, as well as Mythic Quest season 3 over at Posher Recaps. So loving both of those. Go check all of that out.
Oh, also on PSR, I'm covering with Marissa Garza and LT the entire season 3 of Dead to Me.
I still have to finish that.
I am 2 episodes into the 3rd season because whenever I do rewatches or like binges, I always have to rewatch previous seasons because
sometimes I just do like a YouTube
very rigid.
Video of like recap the whole thing for me so I don't have to rewatch it. But
yeah,
shout out to Christina Applegate because honestly, she's a freaking icon.
Well, yeah, she is. I was going to shout out Linda our
Cardellini.
Favorite homewrecker, Linda Cardellini.
Obviously, we love
her. What's her name in the show?
I don't know. I just know her as Linda Cardellini.
Yeah, we just called her Linda Cardellini. Lauren, yes, of course. Yeah. We love Linda Cardellini. She's great in that show. But yeah, tons of stuff upcoming with the three of us. We are very
so many podcasts. Go listen to all of them.
Every single podcast. So thank you again, Sasha, so much. Thank you, Jess, for I don't know, continuing the podcast without me since I'm moving to Europe.
Yeah, I guess I'll be back next week with someone else to cover the finale and then the rest of this, you know, the series. But thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week with the final two finale episodes of Boy Meets World. Have a good one, everybody. Goodbye. Just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.